is a short one, and you know it because you just said it. I'm looking forward to this. As I was thinking about the subject of our sermon, I thought about something that Robbie Dillmore said one time, which was how infrequently we pray when we are in the middle of temptation. You know, he pointed out specifically what did not happen in the Garden of Eden when Adam and Eve were tempted. What did not happen was, yeah, Father, I'm being told this about this fruit. Bringing God into that moment. What a help that is when you and I are tempted. Bring God into the moment and oh, it changes things. He changes things. He changes us. He makes our hearts more tender. Let's pray again. Lord, may we not be tempted to go other places in our minds and hearts. May we turn to you, and will you draw us back and help us to be your very own? Would you lead us and protect us? In Jesus' name. Amen. When Carrie and I were at Gordon Conwell Seminary in Charlotte last week, we came back with a couple of souvenirs. These are from the ministry of Dr. Tim Laniak, who is a professor who's written extensively about the role of shepherds in biblical history and the lives of Bedouin shepherds today and how they compare. And he brought these back from Israel. This one you probably recognize. It's a shepherd's staff. It's used for guiding sheep, for pulling them out of a tough place. I didn't grab Jimmy there. The second one is not as familiar, but it's a shepherd's rod. And this is actually made from a root of a wild olive tree. And you wouldn't want to be on the receiving end of this. It's not just used for striking. It's used for throwing. And there are shepherds in Africa today that can throw these very accurately, Laniak points out. But the 23rd Psalm says, "Your rod and your staff, they comfort me." We read that this morning. And you might think, how can something like this be a comfort? If you know the one who is using it, and he is using it for your protection and defense against evil that would otherwise harm you, that changes the thought. The Bible often speaks of God defending his people, protecting them from harm, and it also tells us to ask him for this. And one of the clearest placings is in Jesus' teaching on the Lord's Prayer. And here it is. "Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one." We need God to deliver us every day. You know, that Friday night in Charlotte, Carrie and I had a wonderful time. We felt God's presence at the baccalaureate service. A beautiful sermon was given that evening. You know, it was one of those times where you just felt the Lord's presence more than usual. And I went to bed thanking God for his goodness and his mercy. And that night, I had a dream I still remember that was absolutely repulsive. It was vile. And when I woke up the next morning, I realized I hadn't prayed over the hotel room for God's peace and rest there. And I wondered if things that had happened there in the past had had an effect on the spiritual realm that I had picked up on. I've had that kind of thing happen before, not only when I was dreaming, but when I was awake. Jesus called himself the Good Shepherd. And he said, I am the Good Shepherd. The Good Shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. And as our shepherd, he delivers us from evil and can also keep us out of places where we will be tempted. Now, it's easy to misunderstand what Jesus is saying when he prays, lead us not into temptation. Many people do misunderstand this, as if he's asking God not to tempt us. But the Bible tells us clearly, when tempted, no one should say, God is tempting me, for God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone. What Jesus is telling us to pray for here is that God will keep us out of situations where temptation will be too much for us. Now, that is a good and humbling way to pray, because it recognizes our own weakness and our own fallibility and the strength of God. Think of it this way. Not too long ago, I was with my 3-year-old grandchild at Target, and we went to several places in the store, but there was one place that I carefully avoided, and that was the toy section. It's not that I don't want my grandson to have toys. He already has plenty, but the line from Boromir at the Council of Elrond in The Lord of the Rings comes to mind here. One does not simply walk into Mordor. The moment we step foot in the toy section, the great eye will see everything, and there will be wailing and flailing and gnashing of teeth if we emerge from that place without some prize. That place is just too much for both of us. And so I wheeled the cart, shepherd it, if you will, and my grandson in it, in another direction. That's what Jesus wants us to pray for. Lord, you know how weak I am. Keep me out of those places, those situations that are too much for me. Those places where I won't only be tempted, but tempted so much that I will give in. That's not a cop-out. It doesn't mean that we don't have to try to resist temptation when we feel it's too much. Our world and our nature have a way of doing that, changing the definition of right and wrong, rationalizing, redefining what God's word tells us is wrong in defense of what we want to do. But that is a slippery slope we don't want to go down, because it is saying, my will be done, not thine. But confessing our weakness to him honors God and his word and his power to help us in every struggle. No one knows what it's like to be tempted like Jesus. God's word says about him, for we do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet he did not sin. Now, sometimes we like to sort of think about that and think about a particular sin we may be challenged with and say, well, maybe Jesus didn't come up against that. But the truth is, Jesus was tempted face to face by the devil himself. And do not think that he cannot be a winsome character. He sells cars very well, doesn't he? Moreover, when Jesus was tempted, Mark tells us what happened. The Spirit immediately drove him out into the wilderness, and he was in the wilderness 40 days being tempted by Satan. One continual, long temptation. And the word used here, drove, is almost violent in the Greek. It is the same root as our word, ballistic. The Spirit literally threw Jesus. That's what it means. Ekbalo. Thrown out. Threw Jesus out into the wilderness. And after Jesus had been fasting and was weak, the devil came after him. And so what Jesus is doing is teaching us to pray. You and I won't enter into a situation like that. He overcame it. But we all have those places. Maybe it's money that tempts you. Maybe it's the approval of others. Maybe it's a pretty face or a handsome face. Maybe it's a substance you like too much. It could even be food that causes you to abuse your body. Or pornography on the internet, and you find yourself getting pulled in, and you wonder if you can do anything to stop it. Oh, we have to stay close. Close to our shepherd. Close to him in the moment, calling out to him in the moment. Lord, you see this, and I need your help. Lead me not into temptation and deliver me from evil. Dr. Laniak noted that several years ago, a group of shepherds in Turkey watched helplessly as 1,500 sheep got off the wrong path, following each other. And all of them wandered over a cliff to their deaths because there was no shepherd in front of them. Each of them was doing what he thought best and was just fine, thank you, until that last step. And some places are just too close. And oh, we need our shepherd to lead us. We need our shepherd to lead us. And it can happen so quickly. That's why we have to be with him in the moment, isn't it? Because you and I can be tempted to evil with just a thought. Just a thought. And it's not the temptation itself, but whether we linger there. And our Lord, with the beauty and light and love of His Spirit, can flow into that place and lift us and change us. And our adversary, the devil, would have us believe, oh no, you're stuck there. But how beautiful it is to know there's more in us. Because He has given us His Spirit. And he who began a good work in us, he promises in his word, will carry it through to completion. And the beautiful thing is, that includes even the rough stuff as well. Because once you come out the other side of that, you see his worthiness again, and you can say, oh, what he has done for me. Because nothing is stronger than his love. Dr. Laniak asked a Jordan Bedouin shepherd what it would take for him, Dr. Laniak, to become a shepherd. And he responded, what really matters is that you have the heart for it. If you do, then you can begin tomorrow. And then the shepherd indicated that his own sons would not inherit the family flocks because they didn't have the heart for it. But you and I are told that our shepherd has a heart for us. A heart that would keep him from nothing. A heart that would cause him to go to the cross for us. To set his face toward Jerusalem. Because he loves us. No matter how many times we've messed up. Because he longs to draw us near and set us free from sin and the despair it inevitably causes. And so he teaches us to pray, oh, keep me from things that would pull me away. Lead me not into temptation and deliver me. Deliver me from evil. And because our shepherd is strong, he will do it. I mean, honestly, when you and I look at that situation in our lives and we're saying, I'll never be over that. I'll never be beyond that. That's just the way I am. What are we saying, really? Well, usually we're looking at our own weakness and saying, I'll just struggle there. But what we might also be saying is that's stronger than the love of God in me. But we don't believe that. Not for a second. And Jesus said, if the Son shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. Don't let sin or Satan define you, because you are so much more child of the living God. Your shepherd's heart of love is for you. Call on him no matter how many times you need to. And he will meet you. Ask for his help. Stay near to him and you will find him to be faithful. We may stumble. He never does. And nothing matters more than being close to him. No temptation that could pull us away is ever worth the distance. Because he is that good, our good shepherd. And because he told us, I have overcome, we will too. As we run to him, as we hang on to him, as we love him more. And that thing that holds us down. Would you like to draw closer still? Let's go to him now in his mercy for all of us. May we pray. Lord, your word tells us that on Judgment Day we will give an account. And Lord, we recognize that on that day we can point to your sacrifice alone. There is no righteousness in us that could possibly pass that test. But we would be yours. And Lord, we praise you that the work of your Spirit is stronger than our flesh. That those places where we struggle, each one by one, can be conquered by our shepherd's rod. And you draw us near, nearer still. And Lord, we want that. And we see it right now in this moment. We see it by your Spirit. Thank you. We want that. And Lord, we ask for help to call on you more. And we praise you that you are our strong deliverer. So in that place that we struggle, wherever it is right now, we send your Spirit ahead to those moments. And we ask that you would give us grace to make the right choice, to turn to you and to be set free. And we praise you, Lord, that you are our salvation. That nothing can keep us from you. We praise you, Lord, that even when we've messed up, you call us your own. Your love is that good. And we worship you for it. And we bow at your feet. And we praise you for saving us. And we praise you for the future that is ours in you. That you are able to present us before your presence without fault and with great joy. That is your word. And oh Lord, thank you. That is your heart. And so we run to you, our beautiful Savior, and the freedom only you can give. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.